Mark 1 this morning. Look at verses 14 and 15. And this morning we're going to be dealing with a question that many have. I don't say maybe many have, but the question does come up. Is repentance necessary for salvation? Is it necessary? Depending on who you talk to, and I will just tell you this, this is one issue. I would say that there's a lot of different definitions, there's a lot of different thoughts out there, but at the end of the day, what does the Bible say about it? That's really where we need to get our viewpoint from, amen, and anything. That's what we're going to be doing today. Some say it's adding to salvation. You don't need to have repentance there. And some say, well, adding repentance to salvation, lordship, salvation. Well, it also depends on what you mean by repentance, too. But we're going to look at what the Bible says about that. But what saith the Scriptures? That's so important whenever we're dealing with these issues. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? So Mark chapter 1, if we could stand together for the reading of the Word of God, we're in verses 14 and 15. Verse number 14 and 15. So I'm going to read verse number 14, but if we could all read verse 15 together out loud. So I'll begin in verse number 14. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, this all together, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Let's pray. Dear the Father, I pray that you bless our time in your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for how clear it is. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us a clarity in this matter. For Lord, it's so important. It affects our soul winning. It affects everything, Lord. And I pray that you would give us the wisdom that only you have. We thank you that we could be here today. Oh, Lord, I pray that you give me clarity of thought and clarity of words. And Lord, touch our hearts in these areas. And Lord, I pray if any here this morning are listening to the online stream, Lord, they're not saved, that they would listen closely today. For Lord, this is their time to hear the truth of your word. And I pray that they would be saved this very morning. I pray your blessing, dear Lord. We thank you that all we do is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Is it really necessary is the question this morning. You know, I probably notice I like to put questions in the titles of my sermons. Because really, that's a lot of the we have questions. And God has answers, amen. God has an answer for all of our questions in his word, especially in this area of this. And this is somewhat hotly debated. But to be honest, when we look at the scriptures, there really isn't a debate. Because we just read a passage here. When Jesus was beginning to preach, his preaching ministry had started. This was after John the Baptist was put in prison. And verse 15 said, this is what he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now I know God being the author of the gospel and the author of salvation, Jesus being the sacrifice for sin, I think we need to take his authority on this, but this is not the only passage where this is mentioned. Repentance is necessary for salvation. Now let's pause for a moment. Well, what are you talking about? What does repentance mean? Well, let's look at number one. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? You're going to see here. So look at our first slide here. You see all these verses? All of these verses have the word repent or repentance in them. And talk about what we must do. I'm going to read through them briefly. We're not going to turn there for sake of time. But I think we get an illustration here that what the Bible says about repentance is a lot. Especially in the New Testament. There's a lot said about it. But what does repentance mean? What is repentance? Well, let's look at what the Bible says here, and we'll get into definitions here in a moment. But we see here in Jesus, Mark 1, verse 15, said, repent ye and believe the gospel. Two separate things. Now, some take this, repent ye, and say, well, you must do certain things. You must make yourself worthy of salvation or to be saved and make Jesus Lord of your life. Now, that is called, we call lordship salvation. However, when we get saved, Jesus should be Lord. Amen? That should be what happens. Is it necessary to be saved? Bible doesn't say that. But we're going to look at some other verse here. Luke 24, 47, and Jesus, these are the words of Jesus, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's very clear. Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's pause here. A lot of people like to use this verse to prove baptism and regeneration, that you must be baptized to be saved. That's not what's being said here, because a little later on, it's made very clear that simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not in a work of baptism. Also, that's why some people say, well, repentance, you can't teach repentance because that's a work. No, it's not. Let's keep reading. Acts 20, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a very important phrase, repentance toward God. That will work into our definition here in a moment. 2 Timothy 2, 25 through 26, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil and who are taken captive by him at his will. Luke 5, 30 through 32, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, Then they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to, what do you think? Repentance. Romans 2, 4, or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to what? Repentance. I think the Bible has a lot to say about this. But what is repentance? Well, what do we learn from these verses? First, that Jesus preached repentance. That's one thing we do see very clearly here in three different places. Second, the disciples preached repentance because Jesus taught them this, that repentance should be, first of all, directed toward God, that God's goodness leads men to repent, for God is good. Aren't you glad God's good? That our job is to show others the way of repentance and salvation. That's what Peter did. So, but what is repentance? Here we go. A change of mind, a simple definition, a change of mind that results in a change of action or direction. We see that God, we see, look at this, God repented of the judgment of Nineveh, okay? It did not destroy it. Why? It was because they responded to his message of salvation. God was going to destroy Nineveh, but God said they repented. He changed his mind because of their actions, and what he purposed to do, he no longer was going to withhold his judgment. And so what we must do, what must we change our mind about? Sin. That's what must change our mind about. Realizing for all that have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that our sin is taking us to a real and literal hell with flames where the worm dieth not. Jesus described it. It's real. It's not figurative. We do not have hell on earth. A lot of people like to believe that. Well, what we're going through right now, you know, I've gone through hell on earth. I'm sorry, there's a literal hell, a real place. Just as heaven is literal, so is hell. A lot of people like to believe heaven's literal, but not hell. Isn't that convenient? Because guess what? God is a God of justice. If heaven's real, so is hell. Just as heaven is a glory, hell is a horror. Why? Because sin is to be judged. Remember, hell wasn't created for us. It was created for the devil and his angels, who had the lake of fire was created for them to for their judgments. But man decided to sin. And what we see here is that we must change our mind. Is it right when we realize that we're on a path that is leading us off a cliff? Right? That's what we say, the great abyss, okay? The bottomless pit, that our sin is leading us off the cliff to hell. I think we ought to change our mind about what's taking us there. Amen. What's taking us there? For the wage of sin is death. Sin is what's taking us there. So I think we ought to change our mind about it. If you're going to change, that will result in a what? I'm going down this path. I'm realizing this is what my sin is. It is an offense to God. It is something that is against God. And this is where it is taking me. I don't want to go that way any longer. By doing that, you will turn away from sin. To who? To Christ. That's what repentance is, turning from sin to Christ. And what some people do is they add this on. That's right. You got to get rid of all of your sin. Make sure you have nothing going on in your life. You know, that you've given up every single possible sin. And then go to Christ. That's not what's being spoken of here. But there does need to be a change of mind. So let's look at the second part here. So what does the Bible say about repentance? Let's look at number two. Is it necessary for salvation? Here's the good question. Is it necessary for salvation? Well, let's look what the Bible says. 2 Peter 3:9. Okay. Let's look over there. Take your Bibles, turn there. To 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I want you to see this. We know this verse very well, but I want us to see something here. That God wants something for every single person. Every single person in here, every single person in this world, he wants something. He is not eager to throw you into hell. Sometimes the world will depict God like this, that he is a terrible master and he just is waiting to trip you up so you can fall headlong into hell. That is not the case at all. God is loving. God is holy, though. But God is loving, and he has put in place salvation's plan, the gospel, which we'll get into in just a moment, so that we might be saved, so that we might not end up there. Amen. What a wonderful God we have. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. That all would realize that they are a sinner, that all would realize what their sin is bringing them, and to make a change of direction and turn to what? The way of salvation, who is Christ. Simple. Is repentance necessary? Yes, if you don't have repentance, then you're not going to come to Christ. Also, our passage shows us that repentance is the path to believing the gospel. But why is it necessary? One must change their mind about their sin. Sin is an offense to a thrice holy God. We have God the Father is holy, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is holy, and the Holy Spirit, a thrice holy God. Sin has the penalty of death of the body and the second death in hell. And there's no way for man to atone for his sin. Jesus died so that we might be saved. If we understand all these things, we realize that we are under the judgment of God due to our sin, and that going in the direction that we are going will result in eternal damnation in hell, then we must change our minds in order to change our direction. Well, how do we do that? Well, you must realize first the severity of sin. People don't take sin very seriously today. I tell them they're a sinner. Okay, well, great. You know, am I really going to go to hell for that sin? You know, everybody lies. You know, is God really going to send me to hell because I lie? Is God really going to send me to hell because I'm a thief? Is God really going to say, am I just stole something little? You know, is God really going to send me to hell for that? The Bible very clearly tells us that sin is the transgression of the law, and whoever offends in one point of the law is guilty of all of it. That's pretty serious. Do you see this? This is the law of God. If we offend in one point of it, we're guilty of the whole thing. Sin is serious. Sin's not a joke. Sin's not a play thing. Sin's not, well, you know what, you know, I guess I'm going to hell then. You know what, my wife and I went out to dinner for our anniversary on Friday, and you know, I had parked the car a little ways away in a parking garage. We ate at a restaurant, and so I was picking her up. And so have you ever seen those things that are, you know, those like long cart things, everybody pedals a bicycle thing through town? Have you seen those? Have you seen those around? You know, usually they're drinking too. I don't know how that works. I guess the guy up front isn't drinking. Anyway, so, you know, drinking and driving. Anyway, whatever. So they're doing all that stuff. But of course, they play loud music. And my wife said she was standing there. They were pedaling by. You know, oh, that looks kind of fun and cool and everything. But then she heard the music they were singing. And so they were singing and laughing and joking. And they were singing The Highway to Hell. And they were just living it up. And they thought it was so funny. Man, our world's in a mess. Sin is not a joke. And if we really believe we're on the highway to hell, then we're not going to be sure singing and rejoicing about it. It's a horrible thing. Do you know why people joke about hell? Because they're afraid of it. You know what? I've talked to a lot of soldiers and stuff. Like, oh, I'm on my way to hell. You know, I'm on my way there. I got my buddies down there. I'm sorry, you're not going to be drinking beer down there with your buddies. You're not going to be down there living it up. with all the girls. You're going to be screaming. It's horrifying, but people are afraid of it. They don't want to address it, so they make jokes about it. But hell is serious. You ever hear this? Here's the other one. It's like, oh, you invite people to church. Oh, I never go to, I don't go to church because if I ever walked in the doors of church, I'd what? Catch on fire. If I sat in a church, I'd just catch on fire. I've done so many horrible things. You know what? Tell people, oh, you won't catch on fire, but sure, God sure wants to forgive you though. God wants to forgive you because what is going on, they believe that they're beyond redemption and they're beyond the reach of God. They're not. That God, well, God's done with me. He's never done until we're done with him. That's the truth. We must understand that. We must realize severity of sin. But one must have sorrow over that sin. 1 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but of the sorrow of the world worketh death. So it is here. Godly sorrow. Repentance is more than just feeling bad about what you do, because have you ever met somebody, you know, they feel bad about what they've done, but they're not sorry about it? There's a difference there. Well, I feel bad that I did wrong. Right? What repentance is you're doing something about it. You're changing the direction you're going in. The great Lester Roloff gave this illustration. I love this illustration. I've said it many times. I'll say it again. I think it's a great illustration of this. You know what? He goes, you know, imagine he said it didn't really happen. Just imagine, hey, I'm at a big preacher's meeting, you know, and someone stole my wallet, you know. Brother Lightsey, you're sitting in the front row, brother, so I'm sorry. Right there. But let's just say Brother Lightsey stole my wallet. He never would steal my wallet. He wouldn't do it. But let's just say he did, okay? And then I find out, well, I'm asking, I don't know, I must have dropped it somewhere. And then Brother Lightsey starts feeling bad about it. And he comes to me, he goes, Brother Spurbeck, you know, I stole your wallet. You know, I shouldn't have done it. Great. I was like, well, I forgive you, brother. Can I have my wallet back? No, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep your money too. I'm going to keep that and everything, you know. I'm just going to go ahead and keep it. You know, he can say he's sorry, but is he really sorry? Why? Because he didn't give the wallet back. So that's the same thing when we decide, well, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin, but I'm going to keep the wallet. I'm just going to, Lord, forgive me, but I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep living how I'm living. I'm going to keep doing the sin I'm doing. And does that mean when we get saved we're perfect? No, we all have sins we struggle with. Don't worry, Brother Lights, I know you would never steal my wallet. And I know he probably wouldn't tell me if he didn't. No, no, he would. No, he wouldn't steal my wallet. No way. No way. But here we go. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. So are we feeling bad as not part of being feeling sorry for your sin? Now, here it is. If you're repenting of your sin, are you going to feel bad about it? Absolutely, because you realize what it is. You realize what sin has done. You realize that sin has offended a thrice holy God. Repentance has the idea. It's interesting if you look at it. It has the idea of reversal. Sorrow has the idea of grief and heaviness. When it says here, repentance has the idea of reversing. You're going this way. I'm reversing. I'm turning away from something to Christ. Excuse me. To the gospel. Sorrow has the idea of grief and heaviness. There needs to be conviction over sin. Due to that sorrow and heaviness over sin, one must repent, make a reversal of course, an up direction, away from sin and towards Christ. If one does not repent, then one does not come to Christ. Fire insurance professions have no repentance. You know what? I'm just going to, you know, I might be on my way to hell, and everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Everybody wants to go there. This is why sometimes dangerous. Hey, you want to go to heaven? Let's just pray this really quick. That's dangerous. That's not soul winning. That's very dangerous to do. Because what people, sure, I want to go to heaven. So if I pray this magic prayer, I'm just going to go, and I can just live however I want. That's what some churches teach, unfortunately. Just come and believe, right? Just come and believe, and you're on your way to heaven. Because they say, believe the gospel. Well, believing the gospel is important, but why you're believing the gospel is extremely important. Is it just to get something for nothing? I love one preacher who said, you're trying to steal something from God, trying to get something for nothing, and just live how you want and do what you want. God's got to forgive me. Guess what? They're dishonest, and they're mocking the sacrifice of Christ. And what do we know? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. But what do we do? So, all right, I said, I'm on that path, and repentance is necessary. I've turned, and I'm turning to what? That's why Jesus said, repent and what? What's the second part? Believe the gospel. So that brings number three, believe the gospel. The path of salvation begins at repentance and ends at the cross. When one changes direction and turns to Christ, then they must believe on Christ to save them. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a blessed promise. Amen. That when we turn to Christ, it's not a, well, you might be, you could be, you're going to be put in the waiting line to see if you're worthy of salvation. Can I say something? We're never going to be worthy. Just remember this, we're never going to deserve. Worthiness talks about deserving. We're never going to deserve salvation. The ministries that we do, the ministries that we have, we don't deserve to serve God, yet He allows us to. We thank God for His grace. We're not worthy. Some people say, well, you know what? I'm just not worthy. I know God wants me to, but I'm not worthy. That's right, you're not. But God can equip you. God can qualify you, but you're not worthy. None of us are, nor will we ever be. Guess what? That keeps us humble. Whenever we start thinking we're worthy and we deserve it, then pride comes in. We've got to be careful. But what is the gospel? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. Turn over there. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. The gospel, given in a very succinct, John 3:16, is a giving of the gospel. But 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, gives it in two verses, the gospel. Oh, we need to keep the gospel simple. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, this is Paul speaking, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Verse 4, and He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. What are the two times what's repeated there? According to the Scriptures, according to prophecy, according to what He said about Himself. Jesus died, was buried, and He rose again. The death of Christ was the sacrifice for sin to secure your pardon, and that He was buried after dying for your sin, and that He rose again as alive today to secure your resurrection and eternal life. All this according to the Scriptures. But what must I do? Well, Jesus died in your place. Our sin, we deserve to hang on that cross. We deserve to die because of our sin. But Christ died in your place. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. It's all my dirty, rotten, wicked sin. We all know that we're sinners. We all know the things we've done in our lifetime. All the things, no matter how ashamed we are of them, Christ died to pay for that. And when we realize that because, to be honest, we understand the judgment of God and we know that that judgment is upon us, but when that weight is lifted, that Jesus died to give us pardon. I was explaining to someone this week about the gospel, and I said, take it like this, is that you're in jail, a convicted murderer or convicted for some reason, and you're sentenced to death, and that someone says, no, I'm going to die in their place, set them free, and they give their life and they die. Maybe someone, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a sibling, maybe it's a stranger. That's why the Bible says Jesus is a friend to sinners, amen. He's our friend, even though in that while we were yet sinners, we didn't deserve it. God wanted to emphasize, we don't deserve salvation, because while we were yet sinners, while we were sinning, Christ died for us. It wasn't because we were deserving, it's because He loved us. And loved, we say loved in the past tense, He loves us right now. He used to love you. No, He loves you now and always will. Here's the question though. Do you have faith to trust Christ? Your path of sin will only end in hell. You must have a change of mind and heart about it. Then one must turn to Christ. What must I do to turn? Well, what's your faith in? Is your faith in your path that you're currently on? The path of sin, the path of self, the path of unholiness, the path of sinfulness? Or are you going to turn to Christ? Here's what many people do not think of This is why many people do not think that repentance is part of coming to Christ. Well, let me ask you this. What if someone knows they're a sinner, but instead they put their faith in the five pillars of Islam and Allah? They repented, but they didn't believe the gospel. Because some people believe that, well, just believing the gospel, well, repentance all lumped in with it. It's all lumped in together. Well, you can have repentance, changing your mind and changing your direction, but you can go in the wrong direction. That's why Jesus said, believe the gospel. Yes, stop the path you're on and turn to Christ. What if someone knows that they're a sinner and instead puts their faith in Buddha or reincarnation? They repented, but they did not believe the gospel. Well, what if someone realizes that they're reached by a Mormon missionary? They realize that they're sin, but that they must turn to, I'm going to put God in air quotes, their God. It's not the, by the way, their God is not the God of the Bible. Ben, if you've been, how many have listened to the podcast about the Mormonism series? How many have been listening to that? Okay, like three of you. They all need to listen to that. It will be extremely informative. And some of it, as I've been studying it, I knew some basic things, but getting a little deeper into it, it's crazy. Anyway, but it'll help you understand, okay? Because they believe Jesus died to atone for the sin of Adam, but they don't believe Jesus died to atone for our sin. We must atone for our own. And that Jesus is our elder brother. He's the first spirit child of Elohim and some other heavenly woman being. And that Elohim was originally a man like you and me, but they achieved godhood through following the Mormon laws and all of that. And really, at the end of the day, it really goes back to Genesis when the devil said in the garden, you'll be as gods. Who doesn't want to be a god? You know, why do you think they go on these missionary trips and they go for 2 years of Mormon missionary service? Why? Because they believe doing that, well, they'll achieve godhood in the afterlife eventually. That's why they do it. They say we do it for love of God. No, it's really get down to it. It's a very selfishly based thing. I want to be a god. Why do you think they have so much money? Who doesn't want to be a god, right? Now, I'm not saying everybody's motivated that way, but that's what they teach. They repented, but sure, they didn't believe the gospel. They say, they use the same terminology. Well, this is the gospel. We believe Jesus is Christ. They don't believe Jesus is God. Well, they believe Jesus is Jehovah in the Old Testament and that Father God is Elohim. Confusion. Because Jehovah and Elohim, same God. Amen. Especially when they're used in the same verse, describing God. And so they say somehow it's not. Mixed up. Here's what many people, they don't think is necessary. Well, I'm sorry, they repented, but they didn't turn to Christ. That is why Jesus made that very plain instruction in Mark 1. Yes, you change your mind about your direction, but take the right path to salvation. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the... No man cometh unto the Father, but by... me. Believe the gospel. Believe in me. And you shall have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son. This is real simple. Hath not the Son hath not life. So that's how we know Mormons aren't going to heaven if they believe what they believe. You know why? Because they don't have the Son. Amen. They don't have the Son that we have right here, the eternal, perfect, eternal God, born of a virgin. They don't believe that. They do not believe Jesus can forgive your sin. So don't turn to that one. That's a false Christ. That's why Catholics aren't on the way to heaven. You know why? Because they don't believe in just Jesus to save them. Because they believe Jesus and the sacraments save them. We could go down the line. We're trying to be ugly. That's what God says. You're adding to what God has said. That's why it can't be Jesus plus anything else. Must be Jesus alone. It's not Jesus plus doing good works. It's not Jesus plus being baptized. He didn't say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me and water. And this, and that, and making me Lord. He didn't say that. Guess when we get saved, we don't, by the way, if you're lost, you don't know how to make him Lord. Only when you're saved can you know how. And we ought to have him to be the Lord of our life. I don't dispute that. We ought to have lordship in our life, have Jesus be in full control. Amen. Guess what? That's something, but here it is. Let's just be honest about this. Do we struggle with that sometimes? Are we perfect in letting God be in control all the time, 24/7? No, we take back control. I guess you get lost at those moments then. That's why some people that believe that, they believe you can lose your salvation and you can get it back, lose it, get it back. How terrible! They're one of the great blessings of the New Testament is assurance of salvation, that we will not come into condemnation. Now we know we're on our way home. We have the security of the believer. If you don't know where you stand, how can you fight? If you don't know what ground you're on, if your ground is shifting, am I on God's side or am I on the other side? I don't know what side I'm on. How are you going to stand and fight, paralyzed with fear? So this morning, are you saved? Maybe you never thought about it before. Maybe you never heard before about how to come to Christ. You can be saved today. But here it is. Repentance is also not just a matter of salvation. Repentance is also for the Christian. Because there are directions that we go in that God has not ordained. And when we go down those paths and we go down those particular areas, we need to have a heart of what? Repentance toward God. Not to be saved, but to have fellowship restored. Right? I talked about earlier. About Brother Lights, he's stealing my wallet. Right? Wouldn't do that, but guess what? If he did, and we would get that right, and he came to me, we'd get that right again. But if we didn't, there would be a break in the relationship, right? I'm going to be holding on to the other pocket. No, but there would be a break in the relationship, right? Just like with our children. We need to get right. When they do wrong, they get right with us. Because why? There's a break in the relationship. Just like with God, when we do wrong, there's a break in the relationship. We're still part of the family. Amen. He doesn't disown us. He doesn't cut us off. Said, I cast you. I unadopt you. One of the most horrible things, it's horrible that whenever you hear about these accounts, sometimes of people, they adopt a child and they do something wrong. Like, they nullify the adoption. What a terrible thing. What a terrible thing. Guess what? Well, that only teaches them that there's no such thing as family ties. That's what it teaches them. And guess what? When God adopts us, he adopts us forever, for all of eternity. Praise God. And because of that, that's because of a great love. People that just want to get saved, I talked about fire insurance a minute ago, get saved and go sin and do whatever they want, they don't understand what the gospel even is. They're misunderstanding what their position is. They don't understand what sin is. They don't understand the gospel. And they don't understand the love that God has for them. Because guess what? When we truly love somebody, we don't want to displease them. Because holiness, that we live a holy life because we want to please God. It's not about a list of do's and don'ts. Now the do's and don'ts are there. Amen. There's qualifications for our relationship and for our service to him. However, we have to do those out of love because God wants best what's best for us. Ever give you rules you didn't like? Right? Because, what was the big question? We get upset about it. I don't what? Want them. Well, that's one. I don't want it. Or number two, I don't understand. I don't care. That's another one. That's a good one. there's a lot of them. The big one, I don't get it, why I have to do this. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't understand why mom and dad just can't let me do what I want to do. Yeah, I don't care. I don't want. Those are very good ones because sometimes we're Christians, we can get that way. I don't want boundaries. I don't want to do it. I don't care. But that's a heart of rebellion. But sometimes we don't necessarily have the heart of rebellion, but we don't understand why God wants us or not wants us to do things. But here it is. Did your parents understand why they gave it that rule? And ever ask that question? Mom and dad, why have you made this boundary? Now, either you get one of two responses usually, because I said so. And that's a valid response, by the way, young people. We know what's being said. You don't need to know the reason. Because sometimes there's reasons why your parents do things that you don't need to know about. Trust them. They didn't just wake up one day and like, well, I just want to make this rule up. You know, they're trying to protect you. The second thing is this. You will understand when you're older. I hated that one. Man, I hated that one. I don't want to be older now. But you know what? They were right. Funny how parents are right when you get older. and you realize how right they are. And it seems the older you get, if you realize the more right your parents were. Right? And they understood. And you think, and what do young people think? Oh, mom and dad don't understand what's going on. Oh, yeah, they do. Because the older I get, now that I'm a parent, it's like, wow, I thought I got away with a lot of stuff. I actually didn't. You know, I thought mom and dad didn't know what was going on. No, they did. So don't you think God knows what's going on? Don't you think God knows what he's doing? Don't you think that if he says this is the way of salvation, that that's the way it is? There's a lot of voices out there that talk about the way of salvation. Well, if you do this, you do this, you do this, then you're saved. Jesus said, I am the way. Come to me alone. Call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, who's that? Jesus Christ, shall be saved. Are you willing to do that today? If you're not saved, love for you to be saved today. You can come to him right now, at this moment. Call upon him to be saved. You realize the path of sin you're on and how it's taking you to a devil's hell. You realize that. I don't want to go. I'm turning around. Right? If the road closed sign, you know, you see up 2 miles ahead, cliff, road's out, 1 mile ahead. You know what? I think I better stop half a mile ahead. 500 feet, it's a cliff. You know what? That's okay. I'm on my way anyway. Put the accelerator down. I'm just going to go. You know what? Someone that do that, who said this, they're dumb. That's what we would say. That person, either they got something wrong upstairs if they want to do that. But you know what? If it means having to turn the car around, if it means I've got to, I got to turn away from a few things. Got to turn away from the things I love to do. You know what? You know, I've talked to some people. I said, you know what? Yeah, I know I need to be saved, but I just can't do it. Well, why? Because I'd have to give up some things. I'd have to give up sleeping around. I'd have to give up drinking and smoking and cursing. Because I know God doesn't accept those things. So, but I don't want to. At least they're honest. But I tell them, I said, well, so I one time a guy just told me that and I was just kind of shocked. And I was like, so you mean to tell me that you'd rather do all those things and go to hell than turn to Christ? Yep. And he understood. He says, that's just what I want to do. And that's sad. But not everybody you talk to is like that. Most people don't even know. So this morning, don't be like that. Because no sin, no pleasure in this world is worth going to hell over. What someone thinks, what are my parents going to think? What are this or that? You know what? There's people that get saved around the world, especially Middle Eastern countries, that there's a hit put out on them because it is part of Islam to honor kill those who are the infidel. So when they turn to Christ, their family is obligated to try and kill them. Either to kill them or beat them within an inch of their life and then disown them forever, never to speak to them again. Guess what? They thought the riches of Christ was worth more than all that. Amen. And the riches of God and the riches of Christ is worth far more than anything this world can offer. Nothing's worth going to hell over. We have come to Christ today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless us, dear Lord, as we come to our invitation this morning. And Lord, I don't know hearts, I don't know minds in here today, but Lord, you do. And I pray if any are lost this morning, Lord, that they would come to you and be saved, that they would trust you for salvation, that they would trust you, Lord, for only you alone can save. Lord, please be with us this morning. And Lord, thy spirit is with us today. And Lord, if any are wanting to be saved today, Lord, I pray that they would not stay and remain in their seats, that they would not be fearful, Lord, but that they would be willing to let someone take a Bible and show them, Lord. They already found that they've heard the way of salvation this morning, but that they make a decision about that today. I pray your special blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.